17. Today is July 17th. I'm interviewing today Mr. and Mrs. Angus Wilson of Cumberland in their lovely old stone house situated on the old Highway 17 just east of Cumberland Village.
Well, it primarily is kind of a dual purpose breed, and then in the Scots got hold of it and stressed the beef side of it, so that's how they got the two strains. But a lot of the original breeding stock for the Scotch Shorthorns came from Yorkshire. They were taken up, they were walked up in those days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So they were both, you were...
Yeah. They were the original ones that came, they were used in Canada. At one time there were hundreds and hundreds of Shorthorns on the farm, but they were milked as well. And then the whole days eventually took over.
And you over 20 Clydes? What are those?
Clydesdale horses.
Clydesdale horses?
Yeah.
Where? Really? Purebreds?
Dad raised them, yes. He raised purebreds, yeah.
That's not bad. And
sometimes more than that, 25 at all. Then I think they were, years ago, I think they were into hackneys and things like that too for coach horses.
That's when right, you must have had to have...
They had them for traveling to Ottawa and whatnot, and they had the, you know, I don't know what breed they specialized in, but I know they had riding horses.
And riding horses too?
Oh, I don't think they went in much, but they probably did a little bit.
So your dad must have had a coach then?
Oh, yeah, there was a big shooting break out there that we sold a few years ago. It's up in Ottawa somewhere now, I don't know where it is.
And five farmhands took care of all of this?
Maybe sometimes more, quite often, five to six.
Sort of permanent?
Yeah, and then they used to hire extra hands at the busy times. In my time there were five, but it's quite possible for years ago there may have been maybe seven or eight, I would think. It'd be quite common to have an awful gang on the farm this side, because everything was done by hand pretty well.
Especially haying time,
yeah.
Okay, so then you'll, what I'm going to say is something like, I presume you took over, I've written, it's all a presumption.
Oh, I better correct that. I went to Ontario Agricultural College.
When did you leave the armed forces?
I went in 45.
45?
Yeah. And I went to Guelph in the first or second of January, I think it was, or the third of January. I guess it was the second of January we started, and I graduated from there in the spring of 49, and then I came on the farm then full time.
You graduated with agricultural?
Yeah. I had BSA, Bachelor of Science in Agriculture, which was all then, first of all, I guess.
Is that what made you decide to take over the farm?
I decided when I was in the horses. I was going to be a doctor at one time, and then I was so long there that I decided that I think I'd go farming instead. That's how I changed.
And that's where you met Alice then,
in
college? And Alice, was she just out of the Navy too?
Yeah.
So you're both just out of the armed forces, which is what I was going to say.
We had a big class of veterans here in the year I was there.
And you bought the farm from your dad?
I bought it. Yes, I did buy it. Yes, I had to buy it. It was arranged.
Okay. Now, then I want to talk a little bit about the house and the barns.
Yeah.
And so, if you can remember, I think you told me that your father built the house?
No, grandfather.
Your grandfather
yeah.
built the house. Okay.
He was the first of the family to settle here.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
What was your grandfather's name?
William Wilson. I guess that bridge out near Navan is named, they called the William Wilson Bridge, I imagine, is named after him.
And he came from?
From Midlothian, near Edinburgh.
Did he bring a family over?
I'm not sure. I think there were several brothers and came over with him, because one settled in Clarence, ran the store there for a long time. Did you ever meet any of those old Wilson girls down there? They were cousins of Dad's.
They married into the Edmonds too, didn't they?
That family down there, no, they were mostly old maids. I think there was only one of them ever married.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one boy in the family side. I didn't know him too well, but I knew a couple of the girls. One of them used to work at Lucy's store in the store, I remember, when I first came there.
Okay. So, and did he marry? Well, tell me how this happened to the best of your memory.
Well, if I could find my family tree, his first wife was Margaret French. Now, where she came from, I don't know now. And she died, I suppose, as a result of having too many children. And then he married Elizabeth McElroy from Richmond. My father is from the second marriage.
From Richmond, Elizabeth?
McElroy.
So he came.
I have to check that. I think it's Elizabeth McElroy. I'm still going down to the. If I could find my family tree, I had a lot of that stuff, but I don't know. It's around here somewhere, but I've got to spend half a day to find it, I think. I'm not sure where it is. I'll check the stone down there, and I can get those. I'm the only one, Margaret French, but I just can't remember if it was Elizabeth McElroy or Mary McElroy.
So there were lots of children from that marriage, too, who were.
Well, actually, there were 13 children. That was the 13th.
From the two wives?
Yeah. But they all didn't live to live through infancy, you see, and quite a few died of like poverty.
So 13 children.
Yeah.
Was he a wealthy man when you came? When you came here, your granddad, or did he come and start farming?
I never did find out. He did work in Buckingham for a while, and he was the Crown timber agent. So he must have had a few dollars together, because he managed to acquire all the mill sites, or the power sites on the Leab River over there.
Really?
And with the machinations of the family compact, he lost them. And that made him poor there, to fighting them. He went all the way to the Privy Council in England, in London, to try to win them back, and he never did.
Okay.
So then, I don't know whether that possessed him to come over here, or whether all this went on, and what he moved over to this side of the river, I'm not sure.
Oh, maybe that's why he moved over to this side.
Well, it could be. Mm. And of course, he was quite successful here, because he had a store, and he had his lump sawmill, and he had a.
Where did
mill.
He have a sawmill?
Just down across the road,
yeah.
He had his own wharf to unload his supplies. Apparently, Dick Dunning said you can still see remnants of the wharf when the water's low enough. Maybe not now since they raised the river, but he said it used to show up.
In what year would that be that he came here, do you think?
Well, I found an old history of Cumberland. They said 1843. I know that would probably be it, because he bought that farm there, the lot 13, from a Dunning, some Dunnings. I guess they'd been foreclosed on, because he bought it from the mortgagee in Montreal. He wanted to be mortgagor anyway, and then acquired that farm. I found an agreement to purchase, I'm not sure which farm, dated 1845. They may have it wrong there, because this is dated 1845. And he bought it from somebody over in Buckingham, and then my Uncle Ridge, who did quite a, he was quite a historian in his day, and he said that the other farm was bought a little later from the fellow who held the mortgage, so I presume he foreclosed on it, and grandfather bought it.
I see. So that brings, you wouldn't remember his age, year of birth, your grandfather?
No, I'll go down to the stone, I guess, and I should get some of the boots off. And it should be on there, I expect.
Is his wife, Elizabeth, buried there also?
I think she is. I think I've got her name on it. It's hard to decipher the names. They're getting worn out there, weathered or something.
Well, Margaret French wouldn't have been buried there, would she?
Oh, yeah.
And they had 13 children. Oh, I was asking you if you remembered how old your granddad was.
No, I
And you can't remember that.
I can't remember.
Okay.
He died when Dad was quite small because Uncle Willie Edwards was his was the guardian for my Uncle Ridge and them.
When you were quite small?
No, when they
when his children were quite
small. Yeah, when Dad was anyway, the older ones, because Senator Edwards married Dad's older sister, so there would be quite an age difference there. And so anyway, he was looking after the family, the younger one, to see if he got educated and whatnot. They both, Uncle Ridge and Dad both went to Upper Canada College, and Dad went to Guelph, and Uncle Ridge went to McGill, and I think he went to Toronto too. He was an engineer by profession when he worked. And then Uncle Charlie, Dad, one of Dad's older brothers, I never met him, but it's funny, when I was in the Army, we were talking, I was talking to a man, and he said, I knew a Dr. Wilson out near, out in the west at a place called Clover Bar, which is north of Edmonton. So I wrote to Dad, I didn't know where, I knew Uncle Charlie was out west, and he said, and it turned out it was my Uncle Charlie. He was a an orthopedic surgeon, but he was pretty fond of the bottle, so as a result he didn't work much, but he was a very, he studied in Vienna and under some of the best surgeons over there and whatnot, and he was an expert, but unfortunately Dad said he liked to hunt and do things like that rather than do his profession.
Okay, so we know where the family begins to fit in. Now, the house, this house.
Yeah.
What can you tell me about it? What year was it built?
Well, I don't know. Dad talks about sometime in the 50s, or maybe the late 50s was built. I believe there was another house here prior to that. And this chateau up.
He wouldn't have mentioned to you who, where the stone came from?
No, the stone came from our home off the place. There's a quarry, little quarry up in the sugar brook.
Oh, yeah.
That also supplied the stone for the railway bridge at Masson, too. Dad told me that. Of course, Dad can remember when that was built. That was, I think that railroad was put through maybe in the 80s, and that was, that would be well, boy then. Born in 72, I think it was. I'd have to verify that,
yes.
but I think it's somewhere around there, so you would remember when they could place stone over on sleighs to on the ice in the wintertime. Yeah, there's a little quarry up there, you can see it.
would he have told you who did the actual building?
No, never did.
He never did tell me. I think there were
itinerant. There were a lot of masons left over from the canal days, and I guess that's why there were so many stone houses built in the area. Mm-hmm. They were probably itinerant. I never heard Dad talk of any stonemasons actually living in Cumberland. There was a bricklayer there, Mrs. MacArthur. You wouldn't remember her, but her husband apparently was a bricklayer, and he lived in Cumberland. Apparently he was very fond of the bottle, according to Big Dunning.
So, the barns would have been built with the stone from your quarry.
Well,
about the same time.
Rupert Sharkey's father said that Dad actually laid the stone for, well, the, not the horse stable, but the other wing there. That's sort of John Sharkey told me that Dad actually laid some of the stone in that. So I suppose he probably had some help, but Dad was a fairly strong man, so he was able to do a lot of those things.
Oh, that's great. I was under the impression your father had never lived in this house that
he always lived
downtown.
Yeah.
How long did he live here?
Well, graduated from Guelph in 96, and then I think he farmed here for a few years, and then he went down to look after the sawmill in Rockland, and that's Uncle Willie was getting involved heavily in politics and as a senator, and also he bought him the mills at the Rio Falls there, and he had more mills up there too, you see, so he was quite busy there, and so Dad looked after the Rockland side of the business for him.
How did you meet your mom?
Oh, I think at a dinner party at Government House.
First of all, how did your mother get him?
Well,
because she was Scottish too, wasn't she?
Well, my mother's father was Mackay, a Highland Scot, and her mother was Jane Baptist, who the family originally came from Newcastle-on-Tyne, but they were originally French Huguenot stock, because they spelled Baptist with an E on the end, Baptiste. They were big lumbermen in Three Rivers there. George Baptist was a big lumberman there, just like his Uncle Willie was on around the Ottawa. And Dad was a member of Parliament at the time, and Mother was up staying with Lady Laurier. She used to do that quite often, and they were invited to Government House, and I guess they were maybe seated beside one another at some kind of a dinner party and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. But was she just over here from Scotland on a visit?
Oh, no. Dad, my grandfather came over. He came over as a young man to work in his uncle's wholesale dry goods business in Montreal. And then he married this Jane Baptist here in Montreal.
So.
Most of the Scots were traders in Montreal. They did most of the mercantile business there, I think, and, well, at least an awful lot of it.
Yeah.
Like the Ogilvies and what other families in Ogilvies days, with the flour mills and the Morton, what's the Molsons. Molsons were English, I think. They were very old. They came out in 1780 or something.
Who, the Molsons or you, the Batistes?
The Molsons. I know when the Batistes came over. They'd be over quite early because he worked in Quebec for the various timber interests there before he branched out his own. A lot of them came over and worked for a while until they got to know and they branched out. Because Uncle Willie, he worked for over on Thurso there for a while, and then he branched out and came over and built up Rockland. There was nothing in Rockland until he built it. There's two families living there, apparently.
Who were the two? Were the Tuckers there at that time?
Well, the Tuckers, they're Clarence.
Oh, right.
Clarence was a very old community, and then Rockland was only known as McCall's Point, didn't it? And they came over there and set up shop and with about three or four men and built the mill. And
is that where the big stone building is on Laurier Street? What is now?
That's his stables.
Oh, well, where
the mills were all right at the river. You know where the waterworks are there in Rockland?
Yes.
Well, that was the mill site there. I can only remember the big chimney was still there in my time. They must have dismantled it all because the mill ceased operating about 1921 or 22 or something like that. We used to go down maybe 1928 or so, but there was no mill there then. It must have been all dismantled, and I can't remember. Except the smokestack, it was there, but I see it's gone now.
Mm-hmm. So,
there's a plaque down there. They finally put a plaque down there, but I haven't found it yet. I went down one day to look for it, though, but it's in the winter. It might have been buried under the snow, so I must go back. I was asking Gilles Labionette about he comes to our church. He said, no, he wasn't sure where it was, but he said, it's down there somewhere.
The plaque to the to
Uncle Willie for founding the town. And, we weren't even invited to go down to it at Mary Edwards, Gordon Edwards would be her father-in-law, and Gordon Edwards was a nephew of Uncle Willie Edwards. His daughter, Mary's daughter there, she's a little bit odd. She knew all the connections, but she didn't let any of us know, so we didn't go down for the dedication of this thing. Some of us would have gone down. I would have gone down anyway. I think Corinna Tucker was there, and some of them, somehow they got wind of it. Of course, they made a herd of it around Rockland, I guess.
Mm. Okay. Your mother, where all these people came
from? They came from Leibster in Caithness, but that's all I know. I'd have to go over there, but I'll have to do that.
So there must be quite a lot of her family over here, too. Your mother's family, the Mackayas.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's not too many of them left now. Angus, I'm named after him. He never married. He lived with a woman for many years. Not too long ago. And George, that would be another brother, he was out west. He had TB, so he was sent out west. He was supposed to cure you in those days. Then there was Hugh in Montreal, he was a lawyer. There's some of them around yet. And Edward. Edward's daughter lives in Ottawa now. And George, yeah, well, there's George is Alan. He's about 83 now, and he's the oldest in that family. There's two daughters, and one boy was killed over in France in World War II. But the two girls are still living in Montreal. And then you and Erica, and I don't know where she is, and Donald was a doctor in Montreal. I don't suppose he's practicing now, because he's older than I am.
That's M-C-K-A-1.
M-A-C.
M-A-C?
Yeah.
K-A-1?
Yeah.
But did they ever live in this house, your parents?
No. My mother lived in Rockland. My dad was well involved in the lumber business. They were married in 1909, and by that time they took over the big house in Rockland. I have a picture of it somewhere.
Whereabouts was this big house?
Well, if you go down Edward Street there, there's a hill, and it was up on top of the hill overlooking the mills. Quite a large house that Uncle Willie built it, I presume. Mm.
Stone house?
Yeah. No, a brick. Quite a large house. I've been in it a couple of times when we were small. But my older brothers and sisters, they'd all lived there for a while. And we've got one. Our family never lived here.
No.
My Aunt Edith lived here when she was an old maiden. She used to come down here and say she farmeretted here during the First War.
So who ran the farm?
Well, Dad always had a foreman on the farm running the farm.
Don't remember his name.
Oh, yeah, well, there was Etienne Rote was here for years. He'd be, you know, Liette, the hairdresser down there, that would be her. See, her father's father was Dave Rangé, and Dave Rangé was Etienne's brother.
So they lived in the house and managed
he lived in the house for many years, and then he died in 1932, and then Walter Rowe came to him to deal with
Walter?
Walter Rowe. Did he go Doc Rowe there? His wife, he married her, she lived on the farm here. Her husband, her father used to be the herdsman here, and Walter eventually married her.
R-O-W?
Yeah. She was a Barnett there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Joy and all, Joy Moore and all, and Linda, what's her name, Joan Lancaster.
Joan, yeah.
They're all nieces of her.
Time frame here. So your parents were living in the house in Rockland.
Yeah.
But where were you born?
In Ottawa. After they moved to Ottawa.
Oh, you were born after they moved to Ottawa.
Yeah.
How far, where in the family do you fall? Middle?
I'm six.
You're the sixth?
Yeah.
Out of how many?
Eight.
Oh, so they had moved into town by the time you were came along. And did you tell me Sandy Hill?
Yeah.
Did they build a house down
there? No. They bought a house there.
It was
paid $65,000 for it in 1921 or 22 or 21, I guess. Sold it in 1940 after I came back from overseas for it. They gave it away for $25,000.
My
goodness. They couldn't sell it for a long, long time, and finally a Catholic order bought it, a bunch of Dutch priests or something, brothers.
Did you tell me it was torn down?
No, it's still there.
It's still there.
Corner of Nelson and Bailey. Well, it's a heritage house now for some reason.
Yes.
It's not such a gorgeous looking house to me, but anyway, it's been declared heritage.
Architecturally, I suppose.
My mother lived there, First Lady said it there, and it was built by Robert Salon, who was quite a prominent merchant around Ottawa, apparently, who later moved to Winnipeg. Dad bought it from Robert Salon, I believe.
And was he a senator by this time, your dad?
No, he never was.
Oh, your dad was never a senator? Hmm?
He was a member of Parliament, around 1904, I think, something like that. I have to look up the figures. Somewhere around there. He just served one term. The patronage was so bad, you had to look, supply jobs to everybody there. There was no, didn't seem any public service exams, and you just had to find a job for these people, and these were just too much of a headache. Some of them were unemployable.
How did your mom get to be involved in?
Well, mother was very active. She formed the Liberal Women, the Federation of Liberal Women. She was one of the founders of that. I guess that's how she got involved in that business.
You think they gave her the Senate job to keep her quiet or something?
No. Well, that was, well, you know how it was there. If you worked hard enough for the party, you got a job in the Senate. Well, it still applies, it looks like.
Yes. But she obviously was a, she was a very capable woman,
oh, yeah,
rather, from,
yeah,
the,
yeah,
Senate.
Oh, yeah.
From things you've told me,
she, yeah,
was,
oh, yeah,
a very
was
capable woman.
She worked hard at the job, I'm telling you, even in the summertime.
And so she became a senator in what year?
1930. Just before the King government went out and the Bennett government came in, you see, you know how they used to give out a lot of senatorships just before they got out.
And 1930 until when?
She died in 62.
Did she remain a senator, yeah, until 62? That's a life...
Yeah, lifetime. Now it's... now if you're appointed, you have to retire at 75, but any of them are appointed in mother's time could hold on. It didn't apply to the older ones, but I guess most of that generation is gone now. I think Senator Patterson was one of the last. He was still officially a senator in 95 or 96 or something like that.
Well, but he wouldn't have been active.
No, he was deaf as a post. I don't know how he could be very active.
Okay.
But I think now you see, like... Florence Byrd, Anne Francis.
Anne Francis. Yeah.
She retired, you see, in 75, although her mind, she's more capable than some of them that are half her age, I think.
Yeah, very actively. Mm.
Yeah. She's badly crippled up now with arthritis, I believe.
Oh, we missed a spot here. When did you move from downtown, from Sandy Hill, was that?
Yeah. Well, we moved to Rockcliffe in 1930, just after Mother was appointed.
So did you buy a house there or build a house?
Well, they bought a property there and enlarged it, and they were, they bought the original Kiefer property there that T.C. Kiefer put up there. He was a son-in-law of Mackay, the fellow that, Thomas Mackay, that built Rideau Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow in his grants there, I don't know whether he got all of Rockcliffe, and then the Kiefer family at one time owned the whole of Rockcliffe, which was just a wilderness then, I guess, and so they built this, they called it the Rockcliffe Manor House, and the original square bit, Dad thought they would just build it, add on to it, but the darn thing was so badly built, even though Kiefer was an engineer, that they finally had to demolish it around, and all they saved of the old house was a ceiling in one room. There was a cobweb ceiling in one room, so they tore down the house and held the ceiling in place and built the house around it. And so it was a, if I showed you the house, you can see the original part there. Have you seen pictures of it? You already know the house?
No.
Yeah. And then they added a big wing on, and it's a little dining room, and the servants' quarters, and the kitchen, and the butler's pantry, and all that stuff.
Whereabouts was it in Rockcliffe?
Well, do you know where the Apostolic Delegate's house? That's it overlooks the Ottawa River. If you take that new driveway, have you been on it yet?
Yes.
Well, you come up a hill, you know where the canoe club is there?
Yes.
Well, you come up a hill, and where you meet the next road, the road that comes this way, the road from the canoe club comes in, and if you look up just where those two roads meet,
yes,
you'll see the manor house.
Oh, so but, that's where you live.
But they've added a big wing to it now.
Who lives in there now?
Well, the Apostolic Delegate, you know, the Pope, Papal Nuncio there. And he added, they added a big wing to it for the nuns there that look after the place.
And they bought it from you?
Yeah, after Mother died, he sold it.
Your dad died first and then
yeah.
You? Oh,
we were hoping the British High Commission would buy it, but they just built the Chancellery there on Elgin Street, so they'd run out of money. So they were interested in getting it from us. We just couldn't swing it right then.
So there were eight of you living in that
in
you all lived there.
Yeah.
But some of you, some were older at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Your older brothers.
Well, they were, the whole family lived there for a little while. My first sister to be married was married in 1934. And my oldest sister, Olive, she was married in 1938, I guess it was. That's 1938, I guess it was. That was the second one, and then Green never married. And Ralph didn't marry until after the 1945. I came back from overseas, and he was married shortly after that. And then we all got married at various times after that.
Yeah.
Been working on it a long time.
Where did you do all the research?
Oh, at the
from
archives.
The family in the archives.
And she'd been going and asked me, and you were requesting. She got after Corrine before she died, and then my sister Janet, when she was down at the funeral, she was buttonholed her when she wore answers. She's very good about it. She's checking a lot of it out here. That's Anna Condor, my cousin from Montreal, who now lives in Ottawa. She lives older than I am, so she can remember a lot more. Especially about the life in Montreal.
Before she married Fanny?
Oh no, this, about that, because Uncle Edward, her father, used to, he was a bachelor for a long time, and he used to be at home, so he would tell her things about what went on.
You must have had lots of important visitors at Rockcliffe, eh?
Yeah. Oh yes.
Big parties and...
Every Sunday, Mother always had a bunch of people goes in. The smelling was a regular customer. Did you ever know, hear of her? She was the superintendent for years of the VON. And she was a good friend and families. It's quite funny, after Mother died there, she said, I always felt when I was asked there, because she lived in Port Arthur, and her mother was always asking all the old maid school teachers and things in for Sunday. And the kids said to her, Mother, sometime, why don't we just have a luncheon just ourselves? So she thought she would like that.
You must have felt that way too sometimes at home.
Well, everybody liked the smelly. She was a very comical woman, very fine woman. Well, she ran the VON for years, and I guess there probably never was another girl like her to run it. She was a wonderful diplomat. But she ended up as matron in chief in World War II for the Army Medical Corps.
Really?
I eventually became a brigadier. And I think she served in the First War. I don't know how high up she was, and then she was a nursing sister. She was in the nursing service, but I don't know how high up she got then. In World War II, where she was need to rush back into service anyway.
Mm-hmm. And the Prime Minister, no doubt, always dropped in.
Well, we had the Prime Minister and Governors General, and maybe Lord Willingham just after they were. The house had just completed, and I don't know, somehow or other, I guess he suggested he'd like to see the house, so Mother had to have him in. And Lady Willingham was quite a girl, and she then fancied something you had there, and in other words, you were supposed to give it to her. And I remember when I was over in England, I met Lady Foster, who was, her husband was Sir George Foster. I think he was minister of, he was in the Borden cabinet in the First War, and she said, well, if she'd done that to me, so I would say, well, I'll see if I can have a replica of me.
Yeah.
Alice, we get it.
Were all of you at home in those days?
Like Janet and Corrine, they went to finishing school. They were at Elmwood there. They were boarders, actually. Some of the standards there, Ernest Lapointe and Madame Lapointe were regular Sunday callers. He was Minister of Justice in the King Cabinet several times. And Postmaster General was another one who used to come to Jack Elliott. I guess he must have been a bachelor. I don't remember Mrs. Elliott. He was there. He was a great friend of Ernest Lapointe. They were like Mutton Jeff. He was about this high, and Ernest was a great big man. And who else was? Ralston was there. used to be there, and he was waiting on me. He was a mother like Ralston and Elsley. And who else could they be? Others. Senator Sinclair from PEI, he wasn't too spry, but his mother used to ask him, I said, I guess you felt sorry for me, because, you know, in those days you couldn't fly down like you can now. So he was there quite often. Dan Riley, he was an old cowpuncher from the West. He was originally born in PEI, but he was settled in the West before the turn of the century and became a big rancher. He was there quite often, too.
You were at school in those days?
Yeah, well, I was a day. People saw it so many. I was home all the
time. At Ashbury, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I went to a little private school for a while. I went to Elmwood the first year. I went to kindergarten in Elmwood. It used to be mixed in those days. Then it went all girls. Now it's gone back to co-ed a little bit. Ashby's gone really co-ed there today.
Yes.
Going right through the grade 13.
No.
Didn't do that in my day, though.
No. So did you go and return these visits when you went overseas?
I went there. I visited Lady Desmond. I was her page for a couple of openings of Parliament there. And so I called on her a couple of times over there. They had a lovely estate down near Portsmouth. A place called Roland's Castle, well, that was the station, and we walked up about a mile and a half to get to the chateau over there from the station.
Quite different to the chateaus in Canada.
No, what a place.
Yes.
They had a real estate. They were very wealthy. He was the director of De Beers, a gold diamond mine, so one of his directorships.
Mm.
His wife, Lady Bedford, I have a picture here somewhere, it must be upstairs, I guess. I saw the picture of the group that were in the open area eating with their leaves and whatnot. And I was getting ready. And well, Lady Willingdon, I knew, I didn't know her as well, but who else was there? Maybe that they used to come and come to think of. But there were others, there were many others I know. Victoria Bell.
We'll get that another time.
Yeah. And then Sir Lyman Duff, the Chief Justice for many years, a great friend of mum's, he used to come for tea every Sunday afternoon, it seemed like. He'd stay for hours. He had a taxi waiting out there. I don't know, but the bill must have been horrendous.
And what was your dad doing all this time that mum was being a senator?
Not doing a hell of a lot, except playing golf and curling and coming down to see the farm. And
was he still involved in the mills?
No. He was a director of the Edwards Company after the mill, after all the interest was stolen. They set up a small, just kind of a marketing agency in Ottawa, and they did a little bit of planing there, and they used to just buy lumber and maybe plane it and make up orders to ship to the States. So it wasn't a real small business, but they were shipping about 25 carloads of lumber each day. So for the fair side, business is the same, but they just set it up so that some of the older employees, after they sold the mills, wouldn't be out of a job. They ran that in Somerset Street, between Somerset Street and Wellington Street. Kent Edwards is on one side, and Edwards is on the other side, where the big city centre building is.
Yes.
That was in the Edwards lumber yards there.
Where did the Kent Edwards come from?
Well, they're related to the Edwardses too.
Oh, so it's sort of a family concern.
Yeah, well, he was distantly related. I don't know how close, but I know he was connected to the family somewhere around.
When you met Alice,
yeah,
at the college,
yeah,
and you were married in
47.
47. That's when I was married. And were you married here in Ottawa?
No, in Guelph.
Yeah. And then you came and took over the farm?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so your children were born here?
Yeah.
Can you tell me the names of your children and
well,
when they were born?
Well, she was born in 1950. And Joanna, of course.
Yeah.
Alice, I remember, and Norman was born in 59, I guess it was.
So they lived here until they...
Yeah.
They, went up their own way.
I'm not sure if she was the only queen that could see here. I'm not sure.
Well, probably two. Yeah. Two or three years.
Yeah.
Or so. Tell them, I can never remember my children.
Yeah, I'll have to ask you if you remember.
And now they've each gone their separate ways. Is Corinne married?
No.
Where is Corinne?
She's living up in Toronto now.
And Joanna, is she married?
Yeah, she's married and living in Vernon, Ontario.
Who did Joanna know?
Oh, Bob Delfoy. Lynn Elliott there, the old there. That was his first wife and they were divorced. So then that spring with that farm, right beside Ken Mellon's there, there would be a horse place there. That's the Elliott place there.
Oh, yes.
Bob.
Elliott's place,
yeah. Yeah. Bob
Belfort?
Yeah. He started it all, he was married to Lynn at the time, and they built up the riding stable there.
And Norman's married to?
Patricia Tully.
Tuck?
Tully.
Tully.
T-U-L-L-Y.
And they're living out of one.
Yeah.
And we don't have any grandchildren yet.
No. Nothing that I know of.